Well, good morning, Living Water family. It's great to meet with you once again under less than ideal conditions, but I'm grateful that we together can seek God's face and seek his heart from the scriptures. And before we begin today, I want to share with you some wonderful news. If you haven't heard, Jackie and I have been blessed with another grandchild. On the 23rd of this month, on April 23rd, Liam James McAlpin was born to our son Kevin and his wife Ashley. Liam and Ashley are doing great. We spoke with them today. They're down in Tennessee, and they're both doing wonderfully. And if you are praying for them, thank you for your prayers. Your prayers are always needed and always appreciated, too. Family, let's pray, and then we'll open up the Word of God and see what he shows us today. And Father, we come to you with such gratitude in our hearts because you have gone the full distance on our behalf to pay a debt we could never, ever pay. I thank you for the forgiveness of sin that you've made available to all of mankind. And I pray that all those that may be listening in today or watching today would bow their knee before you and confess you as Lord and receive forgiveness of sin. So vital, so eternally necessary, may it be so. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're continuing on in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18. And this morning we're studying verses 23 through 35. The message is entitled, Why I Must Forgive. Last week we talked about forgiveness too, and the title of that message was, Must I Forgive? And we realized that, yes, indeed, we must be forgivers. But let me ask a question. Is there anyone, any one of you that may have in your heart any ought, any unforgiveness, any bitterness, or any anger? Last time we spoke of forgiveness, but we're not done yet. There's more this week. There's more to cover. And with those leading questions, I pray that God's Holy Spirit would begin to stir your heart right now to show you anything that's in your heart that doesn't belong there, that needs to be given to him. Last time we wrapped up with Peter the Apostle. Remember, he came to Jesus and he asked this question. He asked, how many times should I forgive if a brother sins against me? He said, seven times? You see, the rabbis of the day taught that you must forgive three times maximum, or three or less. And Peter, maybe he's trying to impress the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, seven times? Lord, that's twice what the rabbis recommend, plus one for maybe a safety measure. Jesus, what do you think of that? Maybe he was trying to polish his own apple. Well, apparently Jesus didn't think too much of it. He said, Peter, 70 times 7. And remember, we talked about last week, Jesus isn't asking us to keep track of it. He's not asking us to tally how many times a person might sin against us. But to forgive another person without limit. You see, forgiveness is so incredibly important to Jesus. And if it's important to Jesus, then it ought to be very, very important to us too. So let's take a look at the scriptures, and we're going to read verses 23. Actually, let's back up to 21. 21 through 35. Then came Peter to him, to Jesus, and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had, and payment be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. And Lord, we come to you and pray, Lord, you would write this on our hearts, that we would learn, that we would grow, that we would learn how to deal with that which is so important and so freeing for us, and that is forgiveness. Forgiveness received and forgiveness extended. Mentions here 10,000 talents the one servant owed his master. Well, what's that worth? I did some research on that, and the results of that research, they vary widely, but it's between tens of millions of dollars and hundreds of millions of dollars. The point is this: it's a considerable amount, an insurmountable amount of money that could never ever be repaid. Well, what happened here in this account? Keep in mind, it's a parable, and a parable is an earthly story with an illustrated heavenly principle. The servant owed the king 10,000 talents. Again, this is something that he could never repay. The king ordered the servant. He said, listen, I want you to be sold. I want you to sell your wife. I want you to sell your children and all your possessions and give me the proceeds. Well, the servant fell down prostrate before the king, and he worshiped him, and he said, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay you. Well, the king had compassion, and he loosed this servant. This is what the scriptures say, and the word loosed means that he forgave the debt. Well, think about it for a minute. If you have a mortgage on your home, that's a pretty significant debt generally. And say you received a letter from the bank, and in this letter said, Dear so-and-so, this is to advise you that your mortgage has been paid in full. Your debt has been forgiven. That's pretty good news, isn't it? Well, there's greater news, and we're going to hear about that greater news today. But this example of a mortgage being forgiven, the debt paid, is kind of a weak example, because the servant's debt was much, much greater. His debt was so great, it exceeded the national taxes of the nation for a whole year. It could never be repaid. Nevertheless, this debt was forgiven. And this servant, after he was forgiven so much, he went out to a fellow servant. This other servant owed him 100 pence, about $40. And he took him by the throat and he says, Pay me what you owe me. Now, compare the two debts. Perhaps hundreds of millions of dollars versus $40. And his fellow servant, he fell down and begged. And he spoke the same words as the forgiven servant. He said, I will pay thee all. But he would not forgive him. He wouldn't forgive this $40 debt. So what he did, as a consequence, he arrested this man. He had him arrested, thrown in prison for failure to pay, and he showed no mercy, no love, and no compassion. Well, word got out to other servants what had done, and the sorrowful fellow servant went and told the king, and the king called the servant he forgave for a heart-to-heart discussion. He called him in. He says, listen, we need to talk here. And again, let's look at verses 32 through 35 and see what he said. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due to him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. You see, family, the world, many people in the world are shackled because of guilt, because they've done wrong and haven't received forgiveness. Others are shackled by bitterness because someone hurt them, someone did them wrong, someone hurt them very deeply. And they're shackled with this bitterness in their heart because they're unable to forgive those that hurt them. This passage in the scripture is extremely challenging. And here's why. Because there's part of us. There's part of me, there's part of you that doesn't want to forgive. Somehow we feel like we're entitled to anger. Sometimes we feel like we're entitled to bitterness because someone has hurt us. Have you ever felt that way? Someone's wronged you, someone's hurt you, and you think, well, I owe them for what they did. But let me say this. Bitterness is a torturous and horrible prison. Bitterness in the heart causes strife. Bitterness causes division in families, in churches, in marriages. In fact, Hebrews 12, verses 14 and 15 says this. It says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble. And by this, many have become defiled. So this morning, I want to share with those that have not forgiven someone that you have done wrong. And we need to learn to deal with bitterness. We need to learn to forgive one another. And when I look at my life, I realize one of God's greatest gifts to me and for me is forgiveness. And I can say, excuse me, I can say, praise God, I'm forgiven. Praise God, by his grace, he has forgiven me. Now, what does it mean to forgive? It means, as I alluded to in the illustration with the mortgage, it means to release from debt. You see, when we sin against the holy God. And when we sin against the holy God, there's a price to pay. But it's a debt, as we see in this parable today, it's a debt we cannot pay ourselves. But when forgiveness comes, remember the definition, it's the release from a debt. When forgiveness comes, what happens to the debt? It's canceled. It's canceled. Now understand this. Say you owed me $100 and you couldn't pay. And I said to you, I forgive you of that debt. That forgiveness that I extended to you, it cost me something. What did it cost me? It cost me $100 to forgive that debt. So there's really, in that sense, no such thing as a free pardon. Forgiveness costs the forgiver that has extended forgiveness to the forgiven. And the forgiver pays the debt. There's no such thing as free forgiveness. Someone pays. And when the Lord Jesus Christ forgave us, it was free to us. But was it free to Jesus? No. He paid the price. He paid a great price. The book of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7 tells us this. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. You see, the price for our forgiveness was the blood of the Son of God. Based on what we've read so far, I would suggest that forgiveness is vitally important to God. In fact, there's approximately, in some form or another, forgive, forgiven, forgiveness, there's about 250 times it's mentioned in the Word of God. Maybe someone has harmed you. Maybe someone has wronged you. Hurt. There's hurt in your heart. It's not settled. There's some amount of unforgiveness. So I want to share with you this morning why we ought to forgive. First, because God has forgiven you. I repeat, because God has forgiven you. This parable that we just read in the Gospel of Matthew is all about forgiveness. You see, it's you and I with an insurmountable debt. But God, by the riches of His grace, He has forgiven us. As we just read in Ephesians 1:7, God's grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. You see, there was a price to be paid. So in accordance with this parable, if God has forgiven me, then I must forgive you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 says this, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Remember last week we looked at these two words, "even as." In other words, in the same way, in the same manner that God has forgiven you, which is what? It's a total accumulation of all of your sin, past, present, and future. And because God has forgiven me the accumulation of all of my sin, then I should never, ever run out of forgiveness if I'm to forgive, even as Christ or God for Christ's sake has forgiven me. I need to forgive because Jesus gave forgiveness to me. That's the first reason we ought to forgive. The second reason why we need to forgive, it restores fellowship between us and God. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15 says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Now, does this mean that the forgiveness that God has given me is going to be retracted? Does it mean that the forgiveness that God has given me will be unforgiven, taken away? Absolutely not. Don't misunderstand. We're not talking about the eternal forgiveness that you received when you came to Christ. If you have come to Christ and received forgiveness of your sin, that forgiveness cannot and will not be taken away. It'll never be retracted because His forgiveness is complete. Your forgiveness has been accomplished by Christ. He died once and for all. Once and for all. But what Jesus is saying here is your failure to forgive harms your relationship with God. It harms your fellowship with God. If you won't forgive, then your fellowship with God will be affected negatively. So it speaks of a restorative kind of forgiveness. And we know it because the scriptures tell us, and you've experienced it, I've experienced it. If I won't forgive, if I regard sin in my heart, what's the Word of God say? He will not hear me. Prayers seem to fall upon deaf ears. That's why it's so important that we forgive, that our relationship with God won't be hindered in any way. Now, the third reason we must forgive is this. We talked about the shackles of unforgiveness or bitterness. The third reason we must forgive, it gets you out of prison. You see, unforgiveness puts you in a prison. You're in bondage. And there will be an underlying unsettledness in your heart that will remain until it's dealt with. That's bitterness. And you know what I'm talking about. There's that something or someone inside you that says, deal with this so that it doesn't deal with you. And that person comes to your mind at just the right time, or you will see him or see her at just the right time. And what happens to your gut? Your insides begin to churn. You feel uneasy. You feel uncomfortable. There's a physiological change in you. You feel anxiety. You feel nervousness. You feel grief or a stomach ache and more. Plus, there's also an emotional reaction. Sometimes you can withdraw. You become silent or sullen or just leave, just get out of the situation. Well, what's that all about? You're in the prison called unforgiveness, and it churns an acid of bitterness in you. And that's the prison. And that unforgiving spirit keeps you there. You think you're hurting them, well, all the while you're hurting yourself, bringing harm to yourself. Again, Ephesians 4:32 says, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. So the question is, can you forgive that person for the sake of Jesus Christ? He's forgiven you. And if Jesus has forgiven you, will you forgive another? And if you can't forgive for Christ's sake, then it's for your sake. And it becomes harmful to you, and it's not for the sake of Christ at all. But maybe you're thinking, and we can all have this tendency to think this, and that is, well, he doesn't deserve my forgiveness. Well stated, and very, very true. But the question is, did you deserve the forgiveness that Jesus extended to you on the cross at Calvary? You see, forgiveness is not giving a person what they deserve. Forgiveness is giving a person what they need. And we all need forgiveness. Man's greatest need is forgiveness. Forgiveness of sin. But you know, when we think about unforgiveness, it's a bitter pill that you choose to take. You have a choice. And that bitter pill that keeps you in bondage until you reach for the key of forgiveness. We need to forgive in order to get released from that prison. Now, there's a fourth reason you ought to forgive. Not only does unforgiveness harm you, it harms the body of Christ. There's a few things that harm the church, but there's nothing that harms the church more than unforgiveness. Psalm 133, verse 1 says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in what? In unity. How good and how pleasant. And you know, unforgiveness stands in the way of unity within Christ's body. It's Christ's body. Remember that, family. It's his body. It's not yours. The Bible says that he has purchased the church with his own shed blood. That's the price that he paid. And you and I have no business bringing disunity to Christ's body by refusing to forgive another brother or sister in light of the forgiveness that you and I have received. Well, maybe you're thinking, well, that person isn't a brother or sister in Christ that hurt me, isn't even a believer. Does that mean I don't have to forgive them? No, it doesn't mean that. Should you still forgive? Absolutely. In fact, all the more, because you ought to pity him as well. Not only has he done wrong, but he's blind. And he doesn't have the grace, and he doesn't have the power that you have. And he's hell-bound and needs to turn around, not driven farther away. The person you're called to forgive is not only a person that hurt you, but that's a person that needs you. Look at it this way. He's a potential brother or sister in Christ. And if you have an unforgiving spirit toward him, it limits your opportunity to bring him to Christ. He's a person that needs you. Did you ever look at that person that way? He needs you. You may not recognize it. You may not feel it. But the reality is, if you've received forgiveness from Jesus, then he needs to receive forgiveness from Jesus. And Jesus is certainly using you to show forgiveness to that person that he might come to Christ also. He needs to experience the grace of God that you have experienced, that you've been given, and they need to see it where? Through you. It's all about obeying the greatest commandments. There's two of them. And here's what they are. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 and 38. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Well, you might be thinking, well, I love the Lord, but I just can't forgive him or forgive her. Is it that you can't or you won't? You see, the greatest commandment says love God first. And the greatest demonstration of that love, if we say we love God first, the greatest demonstration of that is obedience. Here's the second command, the second great command, found in Matthew 22, verses 39 and 40. And the second is like unto the first, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. All the law is embodied in two commandments. If you love the Lord first and love everybody else second as you love yourself, you're fulfilling the law. Which means that the boundaries of the law are all about love. Loving your neighbor as yourself means you must forgive, because unforgiveness is not love. So, yes, you're to forgive an unbeliever also. And remember, your forgiveness brings harm to you, and you, as part of Christ's body, bring to the body of Christ. And because of your unforgiveness, if we're unforgiving, then you or I become a weak member of the body of Christ, because we're not fully functioning as part of the body of Christ. You're like a broken arm or a broken toe. Yes, part of the body, but not able to be used fully that God has intended. So, four reasons that you and I must forgive. First, you've been forgiven by God. Second, when we extend forgiveness, you restore fellowship with God. Third, it gets you out of the prison. And fourth, unforgiveness harms Christ's body. Now, there's a fifth reason we ought to forgive. When you do forgive, forgiveness restores. Forgiveness restores, yes, fellowship with God, but also fellowship with others. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, verse 15 says, Therefore, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. We talked about that last week, the need to gain a brother through forgiveness. Also, in Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24, it says, Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, then come and offer thy gift. Jesus is talking about bringing your gift to the church and then realizing that you've got a broken relationship somewhere. What he's saying is, listen, leave the gift and you go fix it. Go to that person and reconcile. And then once you've reconciled, you can come back and offer your gift. I remember when I taught that passage, I don't know, maybe a year and a half ago, I was so incredibly convicted. Here I am sharing the word of God, sharing this passage, yet I realized that I had unforgiveness in my heart. So the very next day, I had to go make it right. And I realized that I was in bondage. I was in a prison of sorts. And I needed to go fix this. So that's exactly what I did. And you know, there's no unforgiveness in my heart that existed before. There's no ought in my heart that existed before. There's no bitterness in my heart that existed before. And I am free. I am freed from prison. The key to opening the prison door is forgiveness that unleashes me from the shackles of the prison that I was in. And I can talk to that person now with a clear heart, with a clear conscience, nothing in between. Why? Because I did what God asked me to do. Are you willing to do what God is asking you to do? So, we should know by now that we need to forgive, and why I need to forgive. But there's a remaining question. How am I to forgive? Two words. Forgive freely. Forgive freely. Jesus said, if he's wronged you, you go to him with the intent to forgive. Yet sometimes we go to the other person that has wronged us. Maybe we think in the back of our mind, I'm going to forgive, but the real motive of our heart is something different, to argue or justify ourselves or to execute some kind of judgment. But we're to forgive freely and quickly because unforgiveness is like an infection and it spreads quickly and does great and incredible harm. Remember Jesus on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He pleaded for forgiveness for them while he was being crucified. Father, forgive them. As the nails are being driven into his hand, as the crown of thorns is pressed into his skull, as the spikes are driven into his feet, as he was whipped, flogged, beaten, the flesh torn off his back, Father, forgive them. We need to forgive. We need to forgive. Forgive freely. Forgive fully. Don't hold on to it. Don't hold it over their head to be used just in case they mess up again. And then I can bring that back to you. I forgave you before. No, Jesus said, no, you forgive freely and you forgive fully. And he would say to me, don't you realize how much I've forgiven you? And would we say to that person, don't you realize how much I've forgiven you? And you go and do it and do it and do it all over again. But Jesus forgives freely and he forgives fully. Remember again, last week, 70 times 7, unlimited forgiveness. Once you forgive it, bury it and don't bring it up again. Now, what happens when you truly forgive? First, you'll be released. You'll be set free from the bitterness that you had, the shackles of bitterness. When Jesus forgave you, you were freed from the shackles of guilt. Guilt is of the enemy. Guilt is a tool of the enemy trying to get you to take your eyes off of Calvary. But you know what? Forgiveness that you have received keeps the cross of Christ in full view. That's where we find the grace of God, isn't it? There's no reason to drag the shackles around anymore. You have been set free. You see, you can start every single day free from the chains and the bondage of forgiveness or unforgiveness and bitterness. There is no reason to live in a prison house built on bitterness or guilt. If there's some unconfessed sin, even the sin of unforgiveness, unforgiveness is a sin. If there's sin that you have not gone before the Lord and repented of, 1 John 1, verse 9 is for you. Here's what the scripture tells us. If we confess our sin, That's our part. Confession of sin is coming before the Lord and saying, Lord, I agree with you that what I've done is an offense to you or an offense to fellow man. And if it offends a fellow man, it also offends the Lord. That's sin. I come into complete agreement with you. This is wrong. What I did was an offense. That's our job. What's the Lord's job? Well, it tells us right here that he, the Lord himself, is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We confess our sin. The Bible says that he is faithful and just to forgive us. That's a promise of God. That's a promise from God. So listen, family, we're to be great forgivers. But what if that person that has sinned against me won't repent? Well, listen. If they don't repent, here's what you need to do. Here's what I need to do. Here's what we need to do. You take that forgiveness that you're desiring to extend forth. You take that forgiveness and you store it up in a bank for them. You do what you need to do to set yourself free. And when that person that wouldn't repent has a change of heart, then your forgiveness is right there waiting for them. Isn't that glorious? You get right with God. You get it right in your heart. You put that in a bank until that time when this person repents. And when you do that, not if you do that, when you do that, what God is asking you to do, forgive, you will be released from the bondage and the shackles that have bound you. And your heart will be revived. There will be a revival, a great revival in your spirit. You'll be made free. John 8:36 says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Not set you free. Made you free. Free from the bondage of sin and death. Free from the shackles of unforgiveness and bitterness. Free. Remember the parable. The servant was forgiven an insurmountable debt. A debt that he could never, ever repay. How about you? How about you and me? We have received forgiveness of an insurmountable debt by Jesus. Well, what is that debt? It's the debt of sin. The debt of sin. The wages of sin, the Bible says, is death. Eternal separation from God. That's the debt. And it's the debt that we can't pay off. We can't work it off. That's why this parable is so important to us. We cannot work it off. We cannot work it off by good works or good deeds, because the question would arise, how many good deeds do I have to do? It doesn't work that way. The debt cannot be paid by you. But praise God that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man, laid his life down and poured out his blood as complete and full payment for your sin. A debt you could never pay was paid by another, a substitute. He stepped in and said, I've got it covered. And the price, his life, his pure and holy life, laid down, absorbing the punishment, the pain that you deserve, that I deserve, was laid upon our dear Jesus. So a couple of questions. Is there anybody in your life? Is there anyone in your life that you're harboring anger toward? Don't answer quickly. Allow the Spirit of God to search your heart. And to show you, because he understands, he sees everything that's in your heart. Sometimes we put up blinders, don't we? Is there anyone that you're harboring anger over? Are you holding a grudge against someone? Is there bitterness in your heart? Listen, if you can say, yes, there is, because God shows you, you know it, you feel it, you sense it. If there is, please, in the name of Jesus, for the sake of Jesus, then you deal with it. Because if you don't, you're taking the key to the prison that you're in, and you are throwing away that key. It's keeping you from freedom. It's keeping you from a spiritual revival in your heart. It's keeping you from intimacy with God. And not only that, it's hindering your prayer life. And it's hindering your relationship with other people. Listen, you need to bring it before the Lord in prayer. We need to bring it before the Lord in prayer. Why? Because we need help. We can't do this on our own. And we can go before the Lord and say, Lord, you know my heart. And I've carried this bitterness for so long. It's eating me alive. I've carried this unforgiveness way too long. And maybe someone has hurt you so bad. Maybe a former spouse or a parent, a school teacher, someone you used to work with, maybe someone who has stolen from you or hurt your child, maybe someone that's molested you or molested a loved one. What can you do? Well, you know what you can't do. You can't continue to carry that around in your heart. Here's what you need to do. Give it to Jesus. Unload it. Get rid of it. Because you have demonstrated for oh how so long that you can't handle it. And you realize you can't just say, I'm just not going to think about it anymore. You've tried that. And you realize, hey, that doesn't work. Every time I see that person, it rises up in me. I just want to run. I just want to hide. I just want to lash out. You can't bury it. But you can go to Jesus in prayer and ask him to take it away. Lord, you know what I'm dealing with here. Help me to have your heart. You have forgiven me all of my sin. You have cleansed me. You have freed me from the bondage of my own sin. Help me to forgive this person that really I don't want to forgive, but I'm willing to forgive because you say I need to forgive, so I want to forgive. It all begins with desire, doesn't it, in obedience, in a willingness to do what God has asked you to do. Maybe you need to go seek out a person and to forgive them and tell the Lord you're going to do that and then ask for his strength. The Bible says that he is our present help in trouble. Yet oftentimes when we're in trouble, and maybe you don't look at unforgiveness or bitterness as trouble, it's a troubled heart, isn't it? But the Bible says that he is our present help in that trouble. You need to go before him and pray and ask for help. Lord, show us, show me. Show us how to react to this message in the name of Jesus. For the sake of Jesus, Lord, show us what we need to do. Let's pray. Let's pray and ask him. And Father, I come to you this morning, and you surely have touched my heart with a need that I know I've had, but I haven't wanted to deal with it. I thank you for extending your arms of mercy to me, your heart of grace to me, Lord. I praise your holy name for the forgiveness that you've extended to me and you have given me. God, thank you for giving me a brand new heart. You've taken away my stony heart, yet there's still some hard spots in here. And I'm asking God that you would please, please, please massage them right out and give me the courage and the strength and all that I need, the power of the Holy Spirit moving and working in and through me, that I would extend forgiveness to this person or those people or that individual. Or that I might go to them and talk about this and extend forgiveness or seek forgiveness if I've hurt them in some way too. And Lord, I desire to do this because it pleases you. Lord, help me. Lord, help me, please. In the name of Jesus, I pray this. Amen. Now, there's another aspect that we need to talk about for just a couple of minutes before we share the Lord's table together. We're going to break bread together this morning. And what I want to mention to you, we've talked about forgiveness. We talked about an insurmountable debt. But the question I have is, have you received forgiveness from Jesus for your sin? Maybe you're thinking, well, I've talked to another person about it. But you know, the Bible says this. There is one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. And you see, Jesus is the one that died on the cross for you as payment of your debt. Why would you go to somebody else and ask them for forgiveness for something you did against God? You've done against God. You must go to the Father through the Son and seek forgiveness from Him. And when you go to Jesus, if you confess your sin, remember this glorious verse, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And this is so incredibly necessary and important. Because unless you come to Christ, you humble yourself before Him and ask Him to forgive you. Unless you do that, there is no forgiveness. You will not be able to stand before the throne of God in heaven apart from a relationship with Jesus. You cannot justify before a holy God why you didn't receive Christ while you're still here on this earth. You cannot justify your sin before a holy God. He must see you as cleansed and purified by the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. That means you are in Christ and Christ in you. You have received a new birth because you've received Jesus. Would you please receive Jesus today? I'm going to pray. And I'm going to invite you to pray along with me, please. The difficult work has already been done on Calvary. He's simply inviting you now into an eternal relationship with God through Himself, through Jesus. So please pray with me. And Lord, I come to you this morning and I realize that I need forgiveness of my sin. And I haven't yet understood that it must be through Christ and Christ alone. Christ alone, by faith alone, by the grace of God alone. It's not of my works, it's of your work. I bare my heart before you and ask you to please forgive me of all of my sin. I believe that you laid your life down on a cross and died to save me. Please save me. I trust that you are the Son of God, the forgiver of my sin. I thank you for not only your death and burial, but your resurrection from the dead. You are no longer in that grave, and therefore, I can be risen to new life because of you. I invite you into my heart right now to be the Lord of my life. Help me to turn from my former ways and help me turn my life fully over to you. Thank you for loving me, Jesus. Thank you for caring so deeply for me. And I thank you for drawing me this morning to your heart by your cords of love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Praise God. He's a good God. He is so ready to forgive. Isn't that glorious? No matter what you've done, no sin is greater than the power of the blood of Christ. No sin. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me, cleanses you, cleanses us from all sin. God is amazing. I'd like to share the Lord's table now. Hopefully you've gotten the elements prepared. If not, you can certainly do that while we pray together. But in my hand, I hold this bread that symbolizes the broken body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I hold this cup of juice that symbolizes and represents his poured out holy shed blood that was shed for the forgiveness of my sin. And when we talk about forgiveness, I can't help but think of the great price that Jesus paid for my life. He said to his disciples, he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And he gave them some bread and he gave them a cup. And he said, "Remember me. Remember all that I have done for you. Remember this very moment when I shared with you my coming death and burial and resurrection. Remember." And use this cup to remember my blood that was shed on your behalf. So let's partake together. First with the bread and then the cup. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for loving me so much that you sent your only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you for the life you've given me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a blessed week. I pray that God writes this message on your heart so that you might be freed, be made free, and that your relationship with the true and living God will be just as he would have it to be. He who has been forgiven much loves much. Let's love one another. Loving God first. God bless you.